Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
The Man Who Killed Halloween. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
On Halloween night, 1974, in Deer Park, which is right around Houston, Ronald O'Brien poisoned his son, Timothy, with a pixie stick laced with cyanide. I'm just putting it out there
right
now.
We're getting right into it, so get ready.
I'm just...
Get ready.
Letting you know that's what you're in for.
Yeah.
I've been listening to a lot of podcasts that also they do like disclaimers or like trigger warnings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... This isn't necessarily
one of
the...
We don't have the time.
Well, I think it's kind of... It's like we put explicit on the thing, yeah. Whether it is or isn't, just to cover all bases and be fair. But I feel like this kind of show by now, you know that it's... I don't know.
We span lots. Like, yeah, we get lighthearted, but we also get incredibly dark.
Yeah, and this one is going to be incredibly dark. And I'll tell you how I got here. I got here by accident because I think we were talking about growing up, and I don't know if you remember this... Halloween candy.
Mm-hmm.
There was always a lot of panics about razors in the candy. So I remember taking the candy and just breaking them all in half before mm-hmm. you ate them to see if there's anything was in there.
Yeah.
A lot of those turn out to be hoaxes. Sometimes Absolutely. They're not. Sometimes there are. It really depends. And I feel like that, I don't know what goes on in the Halloween candy situation, safety mm-hmm. situation. And I was looking into it. And then I found this story, which is the worst of them. So if you're somebody who's worried about your kids and Halloween candy, just know that this is a pretty scary thing.
Skip this one,
yeah.
I would say.
Or listen and just...
Yeah, if you're more of a masochist, I guess... Listen,
check it out. Check it out.
Stay with us.
But I think it's a really perfect something that... a crime that happened on Halloween involved mm-hmm. Halloween candy... Halloween was the vehicle to make it happen.
Yeah.
And we're going to tell you a little bit about the story of Ronald the Candyman O'Brien.
Yikes.
The man who killed Halloween. So he's got two nicknames.
Halloween didn't die, though. That's another spoiler alert. It still exists as a holiday.
No. Well, I was, when this happened, I was one.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I'm sure I did Halloween. New Jersey style.
Yeah.
Which is just, I think, batteries. You just get
batteries and socks?
Batteries and pennies and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know what you get. It's a lot
maybe
of...
Maybe a gumdrop?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's. I feel like it's just very like...
A glinty, dirty gumdrop?
Or 1970s Hackensack, New Jersey, whatever you think that is.
Oh, interesting. Mine was like a 90s suburban Midwest, kind of upper middle class. There was maybe two families on our street that would give away whole Snickers bars. And then there was one woman who we thought was a witch who lived in the back of this like prairie home, and she would give away apples, which you wouldn't know what she would have until you meandered through her like labyrinthine front yard that had lots of wildflowers and stuff. And you'd be like, oh, an apple. Great.
You thought you were going to, you like, wow, this is going to pay off big.
This one guy, he was great. He was my next door neighbor, and he would sit like dressed as a scarecrow and have the candy in like a basket and then like grab you when you got, you know.
Probably can't do that now.
No. Wildly inappropriate now.
I remember when I was living in New York and I was still mm-hmm. like pretty young. There was I remember this house that we purposely didn't go to because
the people were divorced inside.
No, the kid was murdered.
Oh God.
Yeah, so we remember skipping that house. So it was the kid across the street from me who was in high school at the time was murdered at the high school I eventually went to.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I remember not going to his Jeez. House. So.
Yeah, there was a house on my block, too, down the street that had two people that were shot inside of it. And we didn't really, we still went to that house. Yeah. Like, people were like, that's creepy and spooky. And then we still went there to get candy.
Yeah, we didn't, and I don't know if that makes it better or worse. It probably was, we just, I guess, didn't know how to handle it.
So wait, were your parents really hyper-vigilant about candy and stuff growing up? When you were trick-or-treating, or no?
They said breakfast and dinner, not lunch.
Oh.
They're very, very strict. I mean, candy was, like, marketed in a way where it was kind of like, well,
okay.
I mean, it wasn't crack.
Okay.
I guess.
Okay. I think based on this that we'll get into, my parents were kind of look through our candy. Like, they would look through it.
Oh, yeah. There might be a little bit of that.
You know, if someone was open, they would, like, not have us.
But we were allowed to eat it. It wasn't a thing where it was like, eat your vegetables.
Yeah. Oh, no, me too. Like, okay. I grew up on fast food.
My body was raised.
Yeah.
My mother smoked
when
I was pregnant. And look, I turned out unemployed, so look at me. And undereducated.
Yay.
So that worked out.
Perfect. I think it's very interesting, like, the ramifications of what we're about to talk about and what it means for your own Halloween experience, and hopefully afterwards, you know, people will tell us their Halloween experience. Because I know this really, the ripple effect of this horror was widespread.
The Ronald O'Brien, I guess, he tried to poison all of his kids for money, for insurance.
Damn.
Via cyanide. To do that, it's not like a last minute thing where it's like, oh, I'm going to poison my kids. It was like, I got to go get my hands on some cyanide.
Also, cyanide is such an old school way of poisoning. There's so many like poison. Cyanide is like something the Nazis would use.
Yeah, like a spy.
You know,
type
like
thing.
What are we doing here?
Yeah, you think it'd be something like rat poison or something like that. It was pretty terrible.
Ugh.
There was 5 other children that were with the O'Briens.
Oh, God. As we record this, my neighbors have kids. They're, like, coming up the stairs.
Yeah, so
happily.
you get that.
Oof, that's an added layer.
So they were trick-or-treating that evening, and they received the pixie sticks that were laced with the poison. And Ronald O'Brien actually was there to help the police in effort to discover exactly where the pixie sticks came from. So he was one of those people, like, a lot in true crime. He's like, I'm here to help.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, listen.
Yeah.
We got to get to the bottom of this.
I'm the nice guy.
But Ronald, he's like, I don't know what homes they were at, even though they only visit to a few. And they came home and, you know, had some of the candy.
Candy.
Yeah. So that made people investigating it were like, so what's happening here? And they learned, you look, and, you know, I used to work in insurance. You check out those insurance, life insurance policies.
Yeah.
And he took out several of them on his children. And
don't people
his,
know not to do that if they want to commit a murder anymore? Like, don't take out insurance policy right before you kill somebody.
Because you can't cash on, from what I remember, you can't. If it's a suicide, you don't get it.
Yeah.
So it's not even a thing where people, like, make things look like a suicide. It's like, you're not going to get.
Yeah.
Like, for the most part that I remember, a life insurance policy. Because I am a licensed life insurance agent in the state of California.
Oh, is this an advertisement for you?
I wish. That would mean employment. So
he
took out on one of his son, his children and his son Timothy, and they were insured for $30,000. And
it's also like not even that much money.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess when did this happen?
1974.
Okay, back then a little more.
A little more, yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, we can't take out like $1 million life insurance policy on your kid. That looks very suspicious and it costs a lot. And then there's certain things you have to jump through. But, you know, $25,000 is like a good like baseline standard back then and even now. Monday, November 4th, Ronald, the Candyman O'Brien, was arrested for the murder of his son. 2 months before, so he's been planning this for a while. 2 months before he died, he called a friend who was a chemist. He was like, hey,
chem friend.
Yeah, it's like, how, like, let's just say there was somebody.
Okay, hypothetically.
Not me.
Yeah,
wanted
not
cyanide.
Me. Just no, emphasize, not me.
And he wanted to know what a lethal dose was.
What is a lethal dose?
Because
of
I want less
cyanide.
Than that. But tell me what the lethal dose is,
yeah,
but
what
I want
just
less.
Like, so I know. So I'm trying to, I'm maybe going to experiment with the cyanide diet. So, like, I just want to know.
But his friend was like, why asking, bud?
Yeah.
And he's like, just curious. Okay, good, cool.
Yeah, my new hobby is investigating poisons.
You know, I guess even like, what would somebody do now? Look it up online? But even then, you'd have to like go to get a different VSP, you know, VSP or some people don't know what your IP.
Yeah.
He tried to purchase potassium cyanide from a chemical salesman, but he'd have to purchase it in bulk, like 5 pounds, which is, you know, like probably a criminal amount to have if you're not licensed or have a reason to be a chemist who's got a whole bunch of cyanide.
Yeah. It's like a bucket of cyanide hanging out in your garage.
So I'm going to go back and kind of tell a little bit of the story, like how it kind of happened. And then I'll go to where he gets arrested and everything like that.
Oh, you're going to jump around. This is
I'm
going to
jump around. Yeah, I
want to
jump around. I like jumping around.
It's very cinematic of you.
Let's first jump and cool off for a second. Put down your Halloween candy for a second and
spit that pixie stick into my hand right now.
Out right now and you take a little break. We're back
from the break.
We're back. Before we get back into it, we have some Halloween episodes on Patreon, which is patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Bonus episodes, cool pins that help support the show.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, so this is Halloween month, and this is one of the darker ones.
Yeah.
I say one of the darker ones.
Definitely. I know. I was like, do we talk about the Instagram or do we not? Because it's dark.
Ghost Town Pod. We can talk about the Instagram.
Okay.
We can talk about Instagram. Our Ghost Town Pod. Check it out. You can always message us. We'll post some pictures on that.
Someone just messaged me. This is exciting, right? They said, you are pretty awesome. And I said, this is Greg Mac 417. And I said, ah, shucks. And then he said, LOL, didn't think you'd respond. And I said, why? And he said, because you're a big-time podcast celebrity and I haven't donated to Patreon yet, winky face. And I said, do it. And then they said, well, because you asked nicely and I enjoy the show, I will. So maybe you should take a hint from Greg Mac 417.
He's the Mac.
Donated to our Patreon because don't you want to support big-time podcast celebrities?
Oh, huge.
You know?
Rebecca is going to buy a heating pad today. I think I talked her into it. I bought mine and I love it.
I am in a lot of pain right now.
Rebecca's doing this in a lot of pain.
Uh-huh. So I'm a hero. You're welcome.
She has got a birthday coming up, so you might want to send her some birthday love.
Send me some love. It's a lot happening right now. Yeah. It's a lot of aging happening right now in this moment. But yeah, donate to our Patreon.
We got bonus episodes on there with Halloween stuff.
We're going a little Halloween crazy right now.
And we're going to have a really special, we're going to go above and beyond and we're going to be doing some on-location stuff.
Yes, we are.
So,
and you're going to get to
benefit,
you're going to get the benefits of all of that if you are a Patreon subscriber.
Because we have put a lot of bonus stuff on there.
We're going stories. We're going on-site.
We got outside help on this one.
We have some people coming in to aid our cause. You think you knew, but you have no idea.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, back to the Candyman, the man who killed.
The Candyman can.
He can and he did, unfortunately.
Oof.
So they were out less, it was raining, so they were only out less than an hour, which makes it a little more difficult because you want Candy to be coming from a lot of different locations.
Yeah, it's actually, like, as you were talking about it, it's a really good way to murder somebody. If you're trying to kill a kid, which it's very dark, okay.
Or but us, because, like, I mean, I'd eat candy.
Oh, yeah.
I'll never not eat candy.
Absolutely.
Try to stop
put
to, so.
Candy. You say a candy's poison, you put it in front of me, I'll be like,
I'll give it, take a shot.
Should I have a bite? Have a nibble?
Yeah. I'll take my chances.
Exactly. But, like, if you're trying to poison somebody, like, Halloween is great because the kids are going everywhere, all over the place. You don't know where stuff is coming from. That part was fairly well thought out.
So this is going to be a quote. Within a few minutes of Dad was like, yeah, have some candy. Timothy was crying out in pain for his father. Quote, Daddy, Daddy, my stomach hurts. Really sad. Oh. Yeah. Ronald later said, quote, he, Timothy, was in the bathroom convulsing, vomiting, and gasping, and suddenly he went limp. End quote. Timmy's 8 years old. Ugh. Died 90 minutes later at the hospital. The following day, people had determined the pixie sticks were full of cyanide. I'm sure Ronald would have to assume that they're going to make that connection. It's not like it's untraceable.
Yeah.
And that's a very, like, strange thing for 8 year olds to just, you know.
Also, can you taste a, like, I wonder, yeah, that whole experience. Like, it must have been so obvious.
Yeah. His little sister, Elizabeth, who was 5, she also was like, oh, I'm going to have a pixie stick too. But she was fine, but she wasn't able to open it and eat it. So it was just by circumstance. It did. And what is Dad's, Dad's going to say, like,
eat the pixie stick. Yeah. Yeah, like, open, I'll open it for you. No, Dad's going to be like, open.
That also had cyanide in it.
Ugh.
Word spread, as it does.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things I was originally looking for, like the hoaxes, and which there are out there, and people have gotten in a lot of trouble for spreading
the
hoaxes.
Sure, like the razor blade and an apple.
There's just a lot of checking for a lot of... Razor blades was always the thing I'm looking for. I mean, I wasn't looking for cyanide. I wasn't like,
no.
Let me analyze this.
When you see like a mass-produced candy, you're not like, uh-oh. When you see like an apple, you're like, what the hell's in here?
Well, think about when products, like spinach, the spinach has E. coli in it. No, nobody's eaten spinach for a while.
Yeah.
Any product, so... Same with the candy, which is, which is pretty terrifying. And the news spread. Parents are just throwing away the candy. I mean, obviously, what can you do?
Yeah.
And, but Ronald O'Brien was like, I'm going to help get to the bottom of this because, you know what, I'm victim number one.
Yeah.
So let's get to his, we want justice.
Yeah, of course.
And we get it, but it's not super satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
On the night of Halloween, friends with the O'Briens, they had their kids, families were getting together,
uh-huh.
and they testified that Ronald went up to one of the houses alone. He returned, he was holding a large pixie stick that he politely passed to the five children, so he just kind of ended up with
But it's weird that he did the song and dance of going to a different house to grab pixie sticks for his kids for Halloween.
He actually passed out to five children. Two of them were his. He was kind of spreading it out,
like,
so it wasn't
free for all. He's like, someone's gonna die.
Well, I think it's two because if it's his kids and then other kids, no one's gonna. If it's only his kids,
yeah.
Then they're gonna be like, this is really suspicious. But if it's his kids and then there's other kids, it.
Yeah.
I guess maybe. Takes it maybe in a different direction.
Do you think that some had more cyanide than others so he didn't kill other kids? You are shaking your head like...
I think he was just trying to make it... Goal, on hard times financially.
Yeah.
I need money and this is the kind of person that I am. So he actually was charged with four counts of attempted murder because even though it wasn't successful, you try to, and during his
and
trial...
And once you know it's him, you're like, all these pixie sticks came from you. Yeah. We know it.
His own brother told the court that Ronald O'Brien was broke, and his wife testified that...
where is his wife in all of this, P.S.?
She says he was struggling with debt, and she said her husband bought $10,000 of accidental life insurance policies for their children. After Timothy's funeral, she learned that he spent another $108... on premiums for two more policies at $20,000 each.
Did she feel like she was safe? I can't even imagine.
She said she was scared. But, you got to put yourself, I guess, at any point in time where you have a spouse where you're just like, I don't know what to think about this person that I married.
Yeah.
In the early 1970s, does that make a difference? I don't know. If
I think so. I think especially with men at that time, too, having a duty to provide and
not,
culture of non-communication, too, also.
And you're probably at a, if he's got financial troubles, you probably have financial troubles.
Yeah.
Everyone's, and no one knows what to do, and he's just like, I'm taking care of it.
Exactly.
On June 3rd, 1975, he was declared guilty of murder. 46 minutes of deliberation from the jury. And he was sentenced to the electric chair.
That makes sense. Listen, I'm not a fan of the death penalty, but you know what? Damn, this makes sense.
In whatever the stay of execution, but on March, or I don't know how what the time it takes, March 31st, 1984, they changed it to lethal injection.
Mm-hmm.
He was pronounced dead 12:48 in the morning. Said he was innocent all the way to the end. In an interview before he died, Ronald said, quote, because I have no guilt, I have really got nothing to worry about.
What does he think happened? Like, I want to know what the story is. Like just this phantom house that he got these pixie sticks from are the culprits who killed this kid?
In his final statement, he said he would forgive those who were about to wrong him. Imagine that.
Delusional.
Imagine not even giving people the closure.
Yeah. It's really selfish and egotistical and clearly deranged.
Outside the prison, which is in Huntsville, Texas, 200 people had gathered outside the death chamber, and they stood there eating pixie sticks as like a protest. So I thought that was a nice...
Wow.
That's a nice... I mean, it's a very chilling...
It's an interesting move for a protest, though, is to eat the thing, the tool that he used. It's like someone who shot their kid. Were they all out with guns?
Pixie sticks in general are not... have one thing, to taste yummy, right?
To taste... Yummy
guns
as
have
hell,
the, yeah, guns
and
have a
perhaps
purpose.
Like grape.
Guns have the purpose of one purpose, and so I guess maybe kind
so
of taking
like vindicating, back. Vindicating, like taking back Halloween candy.
Maybe it's taking back. I mean, I don't know.
I guess
can't.
It just seems odd to
it
me.
It is. It's a little morose.
Yeah,
but a very interesting.
Yeah, but it's a very vivid image. I think that you're showing us here.
I want to thank wickedwee.com for the story and information.
Thank you for being wicked.
Yeah. Happy Halloween.
Prepare to enter an immersive world of tragedies, hauntings, legends, and folklore. Southern Gothic is an independently produced podcast documenting the rich history of the American South, guiding you through some of its darkest tales and eerie locations. Join us now on Southern Gothic. The podcast.